This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Three. Coming to you live. This is Lock and Load, and I didn't get to do it last week just because the way things worked out. So I've been like in withdrawal now for a few days since Wednesday, probably. So now let's take this time to talk with Dean Weingarten. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Bill. Glad to be on the show.
Yeah, me too. I was missing my Dean fix. I never would have thought of this, and it doesn't surprise me that you thought of this, but let's talk about private sales, because you did, and what would be going on right now? I mean, right now, it's even if everything is good, the background check system is sort of jacked up, so if Obama had gotten universal background checks, there's a lot of people that still wouldn't have guns now because of due to private sales, isn't there?
That's right. Now, the way I view private sales is, first, that should always be safeguarded by the Second Amendment. In other words, I don't see any provision in the Constitution that allows the federal government or the state government to prohibit or regulate the private sales of firearms. And what private sales are, and they have been generally unregulated by the federal government, although they prohibit private sales across state lines, at least that's the current interpretation. And it is that private sales are sort of a safety valve that prevent government-regulated commercial sales from being turned into a registration system so that guns eventually could be slowly and deliberately confiscated as the categories of people who are allowed to have guns are decreased until almost nobody is left to have a gun. And that's similar to the way it's worked in England or in even now they're trying to do it in Australia, but it hasn't worked for them.
Right.
So private sales are this safety valve that prevents that, because as long as you can legally sell privately without having the state intervene, without having state or governmental permission in order to sell a gun, well, then the government can't really track where those guns go. And so you have a safety check there. And it's also a safety check in situations like this, where commercial sales have been almost shut down because there's such a demand that the existing administrative system cannot keep up. Now, fortunately, when they passed the Brady Law back in, I think it was 94, there was a little bit of the NRA and other lobbyists managed to get a bit of a safety valve in there, saying that if you were prevented from getting a gun and they couldn't make a determination whether you were prohibited or not, you automatically were allowed to get the gun after 3 days. And there was actually a Supreme Court case that went forward to enforce that, because right after it was passed, the Clinton administration tried to essentially moot, M-O-O-T, that regulation, saying, it doesn't really matter, it doesn't really apply, that's not something we're going to abide by. But a federal court said, no, that is part of the law, and you will abide by it. And so, fortunately, we have the situation that people who got in and were able to order a gun 3 days ago are now able to pick up that gun at gun stores in most of the state. But you have places like California, where the sheriff of Los Angeles County is saying, we're not going to allow gun stores to be open during this time of emergency. They are non-essential. Well, if you had private sales in California, people could at least go to their neighbor and say, I want to buy that gun, or somebody could advertise guns or ammunition for sale. But California, and it's going to be adjudicated in the courts, I'm sure, they have essentially outlawed private sales of either guns or ammunition. And in order to sell a gun or ammunition legally under state law in California, you have to go through a government-appointed intermediary at a gun shop where they're licensed by the state and they have to do what the state or the federal government tells them to do. And you have to get their permission, as regulated by the government, as to whether you could buy any ammunition or a gun. So essentially they're saying you don't have any right to an ammunition or a gun. We get to decide, and we can shut it down anytime we want to. Now, that's already there's a lawsuit against the sheriff in Los Angeles County, and there are other places that have backed off of it. I understand Maryland has backed off. I think there's another state that doesn't come right to mind, not Illinois, maybe it was Michigan, that they were attempting to shut down gun shops, but they backed off of it. The only one I know that is maintaining that they have the power and the right to stop gun sales in this emergency right now is Los Angeles County in California, but there may be others.
Well,
so I
never had thought of that. That was the thing. I just never had thought of that in that particular fashion. And it's interesting. Some of the places where they can't do it, because like in California, we've seen law-abiding citizens against civil unrest legally using guns to save their businesses, their houses, their lives. You would think they would be the first ones to know. I know why they're not. I know why they're not.
And there's I forget which politician, Pelosi maybe. I may be misquoting her. I just don't have it right in front of me. But they had said you should stop. First-time buyers especially should not be able to buy a gun during this emergency situation. So if you have a gun already, well, then maybe we'll let you get another one. But if you don't have any, we want to make sure you don't get one.
Well, what's our reasoning for people that don't have a gun to not let them have a gun?
Oh, I don't agree with it, but I'll give you what I think the reasoning
is. Sure, I want to hear that.
Look, these people are just panicking. The guns are dangerous. They're evil. They're like viruses. But they think because of a panic, an irrational response, they might actually need a gun. Well, they don't. We know. We're the experts. We know they don't really need a gun. Therefore, we have to stop them from doing this foolish move right now so that when they regain their mindset and correctly listen to us, they'll have decided not to get a gun after all.
Well, see, the problem is the reason that people need a gun is because they are dangerous.
Exactly.
There are no safe guns. A gun in the hands of a civilian is a tool. A gun in the hands of a criminal is an aberration. But they get them. They're not. They don't consult with Madam the Pelosian. They get them because they're completely unconcerned with what she thinks. And
an important thing to remember is that guns. People were making guns 500 years ago.
Yeah.
And they've been making guns all along. And they're still making guns outside the system as we speak. And if you go to places where there's very high regulation of guns, like China and India and Brazil, and even in Europe and Canada and Australia, people who are prevented from getting guns and still want them, they make their own.
Yeah. When we get back, I'm going to ask you a question.
Can't stop determined people from getting guns.
No, not at all. But I've got a question for you when we get back, simply because I want to make this point. And I know that it's probably a valid point because guns are durable goods. And I just want to get what you may know. I don't know. But for those of you that like what we talk about here, Dean's already written about it. That's why we talk about it, because Dean's already written about it. And there are over 3,000 articles that he's written. Half of them are probably at ammoland.com. And if you want just a binge read his stuff, go to All Contributors, look for Dean Weingarten. He'll be right there. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
Lancaster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holster for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a 1-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at SurvivalistCamps.com. That's SurvivalistCamps.com. Trust your family survival to SurvivalistCamps.com.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever. We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Live, this is Lock and Load, and we are talking to Dean Weingarten, and I want to ask you a question. So, prior to the omnibus crime bill, which started the whole background check and everything in the mid-90s, we were already going through the Wonder 9 revolution, right? There was double-stack 9mm, everybody was adopting them, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Do we know how many guns were in civilian hands prior to there ever being background checks?
We do. And I'm going from memory here. So I'm going to say it was about $200 million. $190 million, I'm thinking it was probably close. It might have been a little less. It was more than $150 million.
Right.
And what we, yeah, I'm, let's see, if we look at when the Bradyville, when the background checks and NICS really started, I remember doing some research on that, and I think we were at about, and that would have been 19, when we got the records, it was really 1999.
Yeah.
When they started really doing the records, because there was a lag there between the legislation passed and there were court challenges and other things. And in 1999, I think it was right about $200 million. And we are now at about $450
million. So theoretically, we could look at all of these guys saying that background checks are necessary to save lives and point out that half the guns in American hands today probably didn't go through a background check because the law wasn't in effect.
Well, it's actually much better than that, or worse, depending on which side you look on. But
sure,
of those 450 million guns out there, most of them are not traceable. They in just a few years, one owner may sell them to another owner.
Right.
And in most states, they don't have a registration system.
Yeah.
The idea of background checks has never been shown to be effective. It is totally a construct, an ideological construct of those who want a disarmed society, that background checks do some useful purpose. They just don't. The way they're done is that you basically impose a lot of restrictions on law-abiding people with the idea that those small numbers of criminals who commit violent crimes, and it is generally a quite small number of society, are going to be restricted, that by restricting the flow of legal guns to most people, you're somehow going to stop or at least reduce the number of guns that make it into the gray or black market into criminals. But it's just not true. And we can look internationally. It's one of these cases where I think an international view is valuable. If we look at India, where modern gun control really started under the British after the mutiny in 1857, gun control there has been, and quite rigorous gun control, where they right off started off with that, you know, if you're not European, you don't get a gun generally. You can apply, but the idea that we'll give you one, it's really hard, and you're going to have to spend a lot of money to do it. And if we look at the gun control over about a 130-year period, actually about a 160-year period, it hasn't worked. There are lots of guns in India, and there are far more illegal guns than there are legal guns. And the last I saw, the small arms survey estimate was that about 2.5 million guns. Now, let's see. Gosh, I need to look up that article. I'm going to say maybe it's 250,000, but it may be 2.5 million, are manufactured illegally in India every year. So the severe restrictions on legal guns in India have led to a thriving black market where if you want an illegal gun, you can get one. And it's fairly easy to do so. Now, they may not be quite as good as most of the legal guns in this country, but on the other hand, you don't need a really great gun for criminal purposes. And they're getting better. If you look at the illegal guns 50 years ago, a lot of them were crude single-shot pistols. And now they tend to be semi-automatics or revolvers.
Yep.
And the submachine guns are gaining ground in the illegal market in India. So, and then in China, you see a similar thing. There's not quite as many illegal guns, but there's way more illegal guns than there are legal guns. And in Brazil, very similar. You have extreme restrictions preventing ordinary people who haven't committed crimes from getting guns. But the criminal market gets them in Brazil. They make lots of illegal semi-automatic, well, not semi-automatic, fully automatic submachine guns. It seems to be one of their preferred modes. And the criminal class can get them. And there's far more illegal guns in Brazil than there are legal guns, even though they've tremendously restricted it. So the whole idea that by restricting legal guns, you somehow reduce the number of illegal guns in society just doesn't work. And Brazil, for example, has a murder rate that's about six times as great as that of the United States. India has a murder rate at about two-thirds that of the United States. And China claims to have a murder rate about a tenth of that of the United States. Whether that's true or not is really hard to know because the Chinese root, the bureaucracy in China is not known for its truthfulness, shall we say.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe too much of what China has to say anymore at all. So,
well, they have many reasons to lie and very few reasons to be open and transparent.
Yep. I guess because they're the Chi-Coms, so right?
Well, there's many reasons. I mean, it's not just that, but if your boss, if you know that if you tell your boss things are going badly, you might get shot. You don't tell your boss things are going badly until you can possibly, if you can possibly avoid it at all.
Right.
And we see a sort of reflection of that in the U.S., where police departments, you know, if they're told they get more money, if the crime rate goes down, magically the crime rate goes down no matter what. Because reporting gets changed, or a definition gets changed, or, you know, well, this isn't really, this is a, don't you want to report this as a misdemeanor assault rather than a felony rape? That type of thing happens.
Yeah.
With considerable regularity.
Yeah. Well, let me get you to hang on there for me, if you would. We're going to come up on the next break, and Dean, of course, is, well, I guess you're saying, no, most of the time Dean is traveling, but he's not traveling right now. Because nobody's traveling right now. So, in the meantime, when we get back, you did another article about, you've had another bear incident and another set of stats come up. I want to talk about that with you when we get back.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
There you go. Check them out at ammoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Makes top quality AR style firearms for sports, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Protect, hunt, compete. This is the mantra of CZUSA, delivered via a lineup of superlatives with handguns proven to function in both real-world and competitive settings. Rifles designed specifically for the mission, whether it is law enforcement or built for the plains of Africa. CZUSA has engineered peerless reliability into their superlative product line. Go to cz-usa.com and find out what serious shooters have known since 1991.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump says medical equipment continues to be distributed around the country. At a White House briefing, the president says hospital beds and ventilators are being sent out.
In total, we have deployed 8,450 hospital beds from federal stockpiles. And, you know, if you think this is done over a period of, really a period of weeks, it's incredible, actually. More than 8,000 ventilators have been sent.
President Trump also says a call with former Vice President Joe Biden went well today. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is now fighting coronavirus from intensive care. A spokesman for No. 10 Downing Street says Johnson's condition became worse on Monday. Johnson was taken to the hospital late Sunday. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court blocks Democratic Governor Tony Evers' order to postpone Tuesday's elections. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Talking to Dean Weingarten, and you published here recently another article regarding the is this like a continuing series every time some new data comes up, because it's a fascinating topic?
Yes. We started with a relatively small number of cases, and now we've more than doubled that. And I can – let me explain a little bit about how this happened. Is that I am a – skeptic by temperament and a scientist by training. So I tend to view things that are claimed as fact with a certain amount of skepticism and questioning how they found out what they claim they found out. And a few years ago, there were a lot of claims on the internet that pistols, or handguns generally, were worthless in defending against bear attacks. And it just didn't sound plausible to me, because I knew of some instances where pistols had been used effectively. And so I wanted to find out the reality of it. And, you know, the claim was that there were lots of cases out there where pistols had been attempted to be used in defense against bears, but that they failed repeatedly. So I and colleagues started looking, and I put out a challenge in a couple of articles for people to give us these instances, give us examples, give us cases where pistols failed, or people using pistols failed to stop bear attacks. And the first article was put out in January of 2018, and we had 37 instances, and we actively looked for cases where pistols failed, and we took in every single case we could find where a pistol was actually fired in defense against a bear. And we, at that time, we had 37 instances. And we only found one failure, and that gave us a success rate of 97%, which was remarkable because there were so many people claiming that pistols were not effective, they weren't useful, there's no reason to carry a pistol out with you if you're worried about bears. And so we found these 37 instances. And then by March of 2019, we had 63 instances, and we had three failures, and the success rate was down to 95%. And then by August, we had 73 cases, we had three failures, and the success rate was back up to 96%. And with the latest iteration, we have 93 cases and still only three failures, one against a black bear, one against a polar bear, and one against a grizzly bear, for, again, a success rate of 97%. So those upper 90s figures seem to be pretty reliable. I would be surprised if we ever get below 94% or ever get above 99%. The reason is that if you look at the cases where there are failures, it's really not a failure of the cartridge or the pistol. It's a failure of the operator. And so what we see is that all different cartridges, we have cartridges from 22 rimfire up to 460 Smith & Wesson. And even with the 22, we have six cases where a 22 was used to defend against a bear. Five of those were successful against black bears, and one was a failure against a polar bear. And if you read the particulars, and we've found out what the particulars were in that case.
Yeah, I think we talked about that one.
Operator error.
Where was that, in Finland or something like that?
That was in Norway.
Norway.
In the Svalbard Archipelago, which is up above the Arctic Circle.
Right.
And it's one of the prime places where there's lots of polar bears. And these people were crew on a tourist ship. And the tourists went off with an armed guard who was armed with a high-powered rifle. And they had high-powered rifles available, but they decided a 22 pistol, we don't know what the model was, and a flare gun were sufficient. And they went out.
I don't know if it matters.
Attacked them. What happened is the guy with the bear kept coming, and even after a couple of shots with the pistol, and I don't think they had any extra ammunition to try to scare the bear off, and the flare gun didn't scare the bear off, and then it attacked one of the party, and the person with the pistol was about 50 feet away, and he shot a couple times at the bear. He might have hit it very plausibly, probably was shooting at its head, but it's 50 feet away and moving and all kinds of stuff going on. Well, it drops the guy it was attacking and attacks the guy with the pistol. So instead of holding on to the pistol and keeping the shoot as it got closer and closer, he throws the pistol to the guy who was first attacked. And the bear attacks him, and then the guy who was first attacked takes the pistol and from some distance away shoots at the bear again. Well, it drops the second guy it attacked, goes back to the first guy. They continue this until the pistol is empty, and one guy is dead, another badly mauled, and they retreat back to the ship. So I consider that to be operator error, and a 22 is certainly not the optimum pistol to be using to defend against polar bears.
I would not think so, no. That would not be my... That would
now,
not
to
be...
To contrast that, we have a case where a person used just a couple years ago was up in the Svalbard area, and they had rifles in their party and a .44 Magnum revolver. Well, they left the rifles outside the tent, but something went wrong with their electric fence or alarm system, and a polar bear got inside the fence, and it attacked a man in one of the tents. And as I recall, the man's mother had the .44 Magnum, and she shot the bear three times, and it dropped the fellow and ran off, and basically it stopped the attack, and it was pretty sick, and then they shot it, you know, with a rifle later on to put it out of its misery. The government came in and shot it. I should make that clear. Not
right.
But the .44 Magnum was successful in stopping the attack and probably saved the man from being killed. So what we see is that most of the time, handguns are very useful in stopping bear attacks. And it seems to be the case. And I was somewhat surprised at the result because I thought rifles and shotguns, you know, would be more successful. And what we see is the problem is that people carry a rifle without a round in the chamber and slung, or they set it up against the tree to answer a call of nature, or they can't maneuver it inside a tent, or the bear attacks them and the rifle goes flying. Whereas a pistol, you tend to have a holster on your person. You can hang on to it better if you are attacked, and it just seems to work better to stop actual bear attacks. Now, if you're willing to shoot the bear and you see it in time, a rifle probably works better. But you have to have the rifle accessible and ready. And the same problem applies to bear spray as to a pistol. In fact, pistols have much better ergonomics than bear spray containers do.
Right.
They're easier to practice with, and you know, they just are a more ergonomic point and click device.
Well, one thing I do know, a pistol is much more effective if you don't throw it to somebody while you're in the middle of trying to fight a bear. So
I couldn't laugh because
it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, though, isn't it? Because, and I'll point out why. I'll point out why when we get back. We're on the last. We've got last break coming up right now. Dean, of course, Dean is a one of the most prolific writers in the United States, and he has been read by more people than any other writer in the gun genre. And you can find his stuff at Ammoland.
And there are more than 1,500 articles now on Ammoland.
There you go. I'm corrected. I like that even better. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Feel like many of us, all the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Mortgage rates have dropped 25%, the lowest mortgage rates in years. So maybe you should drop everything and call Zoom Refi. Refinance your home now and slash your mortgage payments. Take cash out and save maybe hundreds of dollars every month. Zoom Refi mortgage rates are super low. Zoom Refi closing costs are super low. And Zoom, we approve you right over the phone, even for no income check loans. Big drop in mortgage rates. Big opportunity for you to save money. Call Zoom Refi. qualify today. 888-291-9729. 888-291-9729. Save on mortgage payments. Save on closing costs. Call Zoom Refi. 888-291-9729. Advertising by marketing entity Zoom Refi. Zoom Refi is not a bank or financial company. Calls and other inquiries may be forwarded to third-party lenders who are solely responsible for reviewing, approving, and servicing any loan. Zoom Refi is not affiliated with any state or federal agency and does not provide mortgage advice or help. No income check loans are for investment properties only, and income must be sufficient to service debt.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks, so it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. And Dean, you wrote a really interesting article simply because of the alignment of certain factors out there that would be one of these dynamic, altering topics if it were just getting taken up. And it all has to do with the truckers.
Yes. It's an interesting idea. And it was put forward by small group. I think it's called the SBTC, Small Business Truckers, Corporation or something like that. But they have a few thousand members, 15,000 members, they say.
Right.
And what they were doing is calling for Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao to issue a proclamation that in accordance with the Second Amendment to the United States, the truckers would be allowed to carry or would be justified in carrying arms in their trucks as they went across state lines. And I thought it was an excellent idea, but I took it a little bit further. First off, I don't know that the Secretary of Transportation would have that power specifically, but certainly President Trump would. And what I was saying is that they should say and combine three elements of federal power in the executive branch. One is the emergency declaration. Under an emergency declaration, you can do things that you otherwise can't do. And you should say that this is interstate commerce, and it's clearly been established under the Interstate Commerce Clause in the Constitution that the federal government is in charge of regulating commerce that goes across state lines, and then the Second Amendment. And as part of that, you can combine that truckers, when they're traveling on the road, the way that many truck cabs are now constructed, you could make a good argument that their cab is their home when they are on the road.
Right.
And say that because of the emergency upon us and the necessity of truckers in supplying needed interstate commerce, that with the Second Amendment, they should be allowed, they have the right to carry firearms in their cabs across state lines everywhere in the country. Now, you know what would happen. It's immediately one of these district court ankle-biting judges would say, no, President Trump doesn't have that ability. He doesn't because we don't like it. And then some appeals court would probably feel they had to take it up, and it would be a good case to go to the Supreme Court because it would be directly challenging President Trump's powers, and it'd be under the Emergency Clause and interstate commerce and the Second Amendment and the right, as specified in Heller, to have a firearm in your home for self-defense. So all of these things together would make it difficult for the courts to ignore, and it would, I think, have a real good chance of going to the Supreme Court and have them clarify that you have the right to have firearms nationally and that the states cannot nullify those rights. But we are a long ways from that because I don't think this is on the radar of the Trump administration, but I think it would be a good test case.
It would be a splendid thing because of what it would tee up, isn't it? That's the thing.
Yeah, it combines all these elements, and many of them are things that the progressives, have used to beat us down over the years. The Commerce Clause, saying that the Commerce Clause extends to everything. Well, now we're turning it on the head and telling, it extends to interstate commerce, and because of that, we can tell you that you can't stop people from exercising their Second Amendment right when they're involved in interstate commerce. So it would be a really good
case, and here's the thing, though, if anybody is looking
at it very seriously.
This would be right down Trump's alley because Trump loves to turn stuff against them. He loves to make them play by their own rules. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how we would get this to his attention, especially right now.
Just being on the radio show, and there are many people that listen to your show. There are people who read Ameland, and hopefully, this will be something that maybe somebody will say, "Hey, this is not a bad idea. This might help us."
It's a splendid idea.
I think it would be a very good policy, and I think for President Trump, it would be very good politics. And combining those two together, means that it might be worth doing.
Yeah. I have to agree with you on that. Just the idea of pursuing it, it's one of those things that I have long said that one of the things that's going to be the savior of the Second Amendment is going to be women in the Second Amendment, women that own guns, women that want gun rights, because it's very hard for them to get out there and say to a woman, "Well, listen, you can just go to a karate class and you can equal this guy," because our time of being able to stand around and realistically engage in hand-to-hand combat for the average person is a very small window when it comes to our life overall, right?
Yes.
So at some point we have to get to something to where we have a even chance, because I don't know how many, is somebody that's going to rob me going to be older than me and give me the advantage against them?
Generally not.
Yeah, it's going to be a younger dude, and he's going to try to overpower me with shock and awe. So, I think just like with the women, where it's very hard for any argument to be made against them walking around with a weapon in their hands. I think that this is also, especially right now, because if the truckers go down, I mean, if everybody thinks the economy's bad right now, just figure out this. It would be really bad if we don't have products going. So if we don't have...
Almost everything in commerce in the U.S. travels by truck at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are clearly a critical part of our infrastructure. It would be, I think it's a good jujitsu type of point, but it's a question of how long the emergency lasts, and it just, as we've talked about here, it turns the arguments of the left on their head. And so I think it's useful. I wouldn't predict it's going to happen.
But this is the thing.
It would be very interesting if it did.
The emergency that's going on right now is based upon the media pushing the frenzy, right?
Yeah.
So while they're pushing the frenzy, the next time something else comes out, like I heard of something called the hantavirus, where you have to inhale the excrement of a rat. that's in China, right? So I don't know, and it's not transmitted person to person. So, but even when that first came out on Twitter, everybody's like, it's the next virus. It's just never going to end. So, you know, as this goes along.
It is endemic to the Southwest also. I know a little bit about it. And at least that class of viruses that are called hantaviruses are also found in some of the rats in Southwest parts of the desert. So.
Well, anyway.
It's a very nasty, deadly virus. You don't want to get out of it amongst the population.
I'm sure. I don't want any of it. I mean, I came back from SHOT Show with the crud that some people are telling me might have been the coronavirus. I didn't like that either. So, and real quick before we run out of time, just because he's been emailing me, I want to do a shout out. Russ Harrison, I know you're out there, buddy. Thank you very much. He's a ninja that listens day in, day out. He listens to earthquakes and all kinds of other stuff. He's up there in Alaska just living the life. And we'll see you again on Wednesday, yeah?
Very good.
And if Friday comes off, you good enough to do triple duty this week?
I think we could because we've got a lot of things that have been kind of held back because we missed a couple shows due to exigencies.
Yes.
You know, difficulties.
There you go. So that'll probably happen. So thank you very much for joining me this evening, too.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
Yes, sir. We will be back again in 21 hours, and between now and then, do this if you would be so kind. Remember, it has never, ever been about gun control. It has been, and it's always going to be about total control. Tomorrow we're going to get an update from Beaufort, North Carolina with Paloma Capana. That's coming up tomorrow. As for tonight, this has been Lock and Load.
We know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At STI, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. STIguns.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
I am not done, but I have found a way to thrive. Elevate. Elevate is a wearable technology designed to mitigate your active lifestyle. Whether you're a professional athlete looking to enhance performance, a yoga practitioner wishing to gain more flexibility, or a person seeking natural ways to relieve pain,
benefits encompass all walks of life and lifestyles.
Elevate is not a cure, but the IE-infused clothing will give you that extra percentage needed to help you get moving. For more information or to order, go to ElevateBill.com. Elevate, because I am not done yet.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.